Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Homer Hargrove. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the art of attention. We're going to learn how to choose what to give your focus to. In this episode, we're going to be learning how to discern what and who you should and shouldn't give your attention to. We're going to discuss how to build a process of deciding yes or no to giving your time and energy. We're going to unpack the difference between things that are important and things that are urgent. And we're also going to talk about building boundaries with people when it comes to giving your time. At the end of this episode, I'm going to give you three takeaways to help you directly apply what we talk about today in your own leadership. And every week, we come out with a new episode for this podcast to be able to help you tap into your hidden potential. We do that by giving you mental and practical tools to be able to use in your organization. With that being said, let's get started with a big thought, and that is the longer that you are a leader, the greater demand of your attention grows. It can feel overwhelming as you begin to have too much on your plate. And with feeling exasperated comes feeling confused on what you should be doing first. And on top of that, the minute that you finish one thing, it seems like there's three more other things that arise asking for your focus and attention again. Learning how to discern what you should say yes or no to is pivotal to keeping your composure and your sanity as a leader. It takes some hard work. It takes intention to begin this journey of organizing your attention span. But before long, if you don't give up, it will become like a second nature or an art form. And we're going to break up this episode into three major categories when it comes to your attention and your focus. And that's going to be broken up into your energy, into tasks, and into people. Starting off with the idea of energy, the first thing that you have to do is learn how to discern if whatever is on your plate is something that you should be doing in the first place. See, oftentimes we say yes to things initially out of politeness and wanting to please people. And if you want to be able to actually grow your organization, your team, or your ministry, you're going to have to learn to not waste time on things that are not necessarily important. As an example for me, early on when I started dipping my toes into leadership, I said yes to nearly everything. And I think that at the beginning stages that you should say yes more than no. But very quickly, I started getting way too much on my plate. And there's that one point where I was like, supposed to help volunteer and lead a Christmas parade. And anyone that knows me knows that I'm not a parade person. it's not my vibe. Didn't grow up with like this parade atmosphere or whatever. As funny as it may sound, it is like something that I should have never said yes to in the first place, but I was just trying to be helpful. I was just trying to be polite. And at the end of the day, if I had the extra time, that would have been nice, but it was something that I said yes to while making me feel really stretched thin for other things that I was supposed to be doing. See, it's a simple example of how we often say yes as being a polite leader when it's something that we may have said no to. There's literally dozens of other people that could have helped with that parade. They didn't need me. But rather than focusing on what I should have been doing, I was distracted with something that I didn't really need to be doing. So instead of spreading yourself so thin by saying yes to everything, start zoning in on the few things that you should be saying yes to. Think of it like a hunt that you want to win this prize buck. And if you go out there with the shotgun, you're not going to get close enough to what you want in the first place. And even if you do, you would just spoil the meat and you'd spoil the trophy by your scattered shot approach. Again, I'm using this idea of a shotgun that spread. You're going to hit the target, yes, but it's going to be hitting everything else at the same time. But if you go in there with a rifle with a single bullet and clear vision down the scope, you will be able to achieve what you want. Again, I'm using this hunting as an analogy, but that I found this to be proven true. When I have a scattered approach where I'm trying to do a lot of things at once, I often don't come out very successful. I hit a little bit of everything, but I don't really achieve anything. When I go in there with a very focused approach, like that of a rifle, I end up only doing this one thing, but I end up doing it really well. And I feel a lot more accomplished at the trophy I get out of it. Y'all dig what I'm saying? Again, look at where you're giving your energy. is that something that you need to be doing? As a one more example on this, something that I try to take to heart whenever I'm doing an event or setup, or even just when it comes to day-to-day work, when applicable, I'll try to do things that only I can do. And something that anybody can do, I'll leave up for someone else. As Sunday service, and as an example for our church, we set up every single Sunday and we tear down every Sunday. Something like setting up chairs is something just about anyone can do, but navigating the soundboard and the visual and audio equipment, that takes a more unique skill. So I'll focus on something that at the time I can only do while letting other people do what almost anyone can do. Y'all dig what I'm saying? You want to continue as you grow in your leadership to zero in more and more, instilling other leaders, other volunteers to be in charge of things that others could do, and you focus only on what you can do. For me, it's like Sunday service, that message. I'm the one person that's going to be giving that Sunday message. So I need to focus on that and try to delegate these other energy levels, these other tasks. Speaking of tasks, let's go into our second category, which is tasks. Once your attention list is narrowed down, the second thing that you have to learn to do is categorize your tasks into either urgent, important, or passive categories. This will help you to see what is actually time sensitive and help you to navigate a snowball effect by knocking off the quickest tasks first. Now, I've talked about this in the past before, but developing this rhythm to your focus will help you to get more work done at a more efficient pace. It's not as much as what you're doing, but how you're going about doing it. Now, when I say urgent, important, and passive, to give examples for me, there's urgent means time sensitive, like this has to be done today or soon. While important is like this needs to be done eventually, and passive can either be like a recurring thing. Like maybe you're sending out a weekly email. Well, that's a passive task list that you can, arrange in your notes to be repeating. Or maybe it's just like an idea. Maybe it's like you want to revisit your website, and whenever you get time, you'll go and back to your passive list and say, oh yeah, I want to do that, rather than getting the random notion to work on your website when you still have urgent and important things to knock off your list. Once you categorize that list correctly, start doing the smallest tasks or the things that would be the quickest to do first, and then you're going to be able to have this kind of snowball effect. Now, there might be certain occasions where you have to do a big task first because of the urgency or time, the importance of it. That's fine, but relatively, like, you want to knock off the small task first and have this kind of snowball effect. So by the end of the day, you did a lot more than if you were to do the reverse. Y'all feel what I'm saying? Today's episode is brought to you by Gravetop Designs online store. Visit gravetopdesigns.com/shop to find custom-made Christian clothing that's edgy and actually looks good. I crafted all of the designs myself, so I'd love to hear your feedback and tell me what you think. Share your next purchase on Instagram and tag Gravetop Designs for a chance to get 10% off your next order. Shop today, help support this channel. Again, that's gravetopdesigns.com/shop. The final category that we're going to look at is people. And this is possibly the most important thing to learn about choosing what you give your attention to, and it's all when it deals with people. There are some people who seem to be self-maintenance and others who seem like they need round-the-clock attention. You'll get to a place where you have to start limiting who has full access to your time by implementing boundaries. And you need to start making these kind of mental notes of who can be a level 5 access and who can be only a level 1 access. And I'm going to go over 4 components that you should consider when kind of navigating that access in individual relationships. But I want to emphasize that people, especially in ministry, like that is our business. We like everything that we do is about people. And even for me and my wife, that work for people does not stop all the way till 11 o'clock at night. We're sitting down and we're barely, you know, took a shower and sitting down to relax by the end of the night. And even though we spent the majority of our day ministering or counseling or talking to people, at the end of the day, we finally sit down and my wife is going through her list of people she still needs to text back. And it's like a list of like over 10 people that she's taking the time to go back with. Now, again, ministry, that's what we do. Everything we do is about people. But you need to learn how to limit the kind of access for certain people. There are certain people that they will continue to take as much attention as you give them. And there's others where it seems like you have to like consciously check in on them because they won't, it will seem like they never reach out to you. And as you go through this, kind of access, you in order to keep your sanity, especially if you get married, especially if you have kids, you have to consider the access to your life. If it's family day and it's one day out of the week that you have to spend time with your kids, you should not drop everything that you're doing to give someone level 5 access. And I'm saying level 5 as if like that's the top level access, top tier, to where they can access you at any time. Level 1 access would be like, if I'm ready and available and I don't have anything else to do, then I'll talk to you. But you, so grading that kind of level of access accordingly, you shouldn't drop everything for your family, with your family, for someone that doesn't do the same for you. You know, they only should have level 1 access if they're not very involved. If y'all get what I'm saying, I shouldn't ramble about this. Let me just go into the categories I'm going to give you. So, things to consider when giving people this kind of access in your life. Number 1 is history. Who are they to you? Are they your spouse, your kids, your family, your friends? Are they a member of the church? Are they a member of your organization? Are they a customer? Are they an acquaintance? Are they a lead that could be a potential member or customer? Are they a complete stranger, etc.? These are all ideas of history within the relationship. So as an individual, my wife has level 5 access. My kids will often have level 5 access. And certain family members may only have level 3 access, level 2 access. A church member who is a consistent say like an incredible volunteer, always investing their time and energy in the church, I would give them a level 4 access. But say there's another church member that maybe comes once every couple months and they're here and there and they're not very involved in the church and they randomly say like, hey, I want to ask you a question, I might give them level 2 access. Y'all dig what I'm saying? You don't have to rearrange your life for every single person on an equal scale. It varies according to the history. Another thing to consider is the request frequency. Do they never ask for your time in this one time they're asking for your time? Or do they rarely ask for sometime your time and energy? Do they sometimes ask for your time and energy? Do they often ask for your time or energy? Or do they ask for your time and energy all of the time? See, that kind of request frequency should be considered. There's certain people, like I described earlier, that may not really be involved with what we're doing as a church, but seems like they're always wanting my time and energy. And so it seems like they're always wanting to take, but never wanting to give. And again, we're not trying to judge people accordingly, but we're talking about putting healthy boundaries for your sanity. And I would often find myself giving a lot of my time and energy for people who didn't even care for the church, didn't have any participation, but those who did care and have participation for the church, I felt like I had no time and energy for those people that were giving so much, who were participating so much, because I was giving everything I had to the people that gave very little. So again, consider the request frequency. If you have that one faithful member that never asked for your time and energy, and they message you like, hey, I know it's late, Can you talk? I would probably give my access to them. I would give my attention to them because they never do this. They must be going through something really serious. Another thing to consider is the reason of which they're asking for your time and energy. Is it life and death? Did someone literally die? Is there a birth? You know, is someone on the brink of suicide? These are real reasons to consider. Is there a major life event that they're going through? Are they going through a divorce? Are they moving? Did they just get fired? Do they need counseling and advice? Are they just trying to network? Are they trying to pitch you? Is it for discipleship? Is it because they're just feeling lonely? Is it because they're emotionally clingy? Is it work related, or is it about some type of meeting? Or, you know, these are all reasons to consider how to have level 5 access or level 1 access or anything in between when it comes to the attention and time you give to people. And finally, the return on investment. Does this give you energy, or does it drain your energy? Does the time spent with them impactful, or is it ineffective? And there's some times where I'll pour my heart and soul into a meeting with someone, and by the end of everything that we talk about, they end by saying, yeah, but still, I just feel like this though. And it's almost like they ignored everything I just shared. And if it seems like there's not really a return on that investment of time as far as it being effective, then I'm most likely not going to give that kind of level access again to that person. But there's also other times where it's like, man, after listening to this person for an hour talk and they don't want to, I can listen, I could be a ministry of listening, but if it completely drains my energy, I might only give that person level 2 or level 3 access, especially if it's like that the attention they want is at the end of the day and I'm burnt out. I cannot just give level 5 access all the time if it's going to continually drain me. Y'all feel what I'm saying? So some takeaways to these is number 1, go through your duties and filter out things that you don't need to be doing or have someone else could be doing. Number 2, categorize your tasks by either urgent, important, or passive. And number 3, begin implementing boundaries with people and reasonably limiting the access people can have with you. Again, I'm talking about being reasonable. Don't just start cutting people off like crazy. I'm talking about being reasonable and consider all these different categories when it comes to these boundaries. Now, I'm so grateful for you guys being a part of this episode. I hope it made a difference in your life. Could you do me a favor? Could you leave me a rating and review for this podcast? It'd help others be able to see this show in their feed and be able to help others be able to join our podcast. That being said, until next time, have a great life.